Why does the Prince Consort have a difficult time at times? This is Dr. Herbert O'Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Why does the Prince Consort have a difficult time at times? Well, he has a difficult time, as in the story of Queen Victoria, because Queen Victoria was very young and she had not yet established all of her priorities. If she had said to her husband, the Prince Consort, if she had said, "Now, you can speak as much as you want in public, you can do all the things you want in public, but always say you're speaking on behalf of the Queen. Always say that you're representing the Queen, you're not representing yourself, because it is me that you're representing. Now, in the bedroom, you can represent yourself. And in our home, you can represent yourself, and you can speak out as much as you want on anything that you want. But always remember one thing," and this was very difficult for him at first to remember, "that she's the man of the family." And this is what we all forget as we live in our life. We forget who the man of the family is. We forget who the person who's in charge is. Now, that person could be ourself. That person probably is ourself. But how do you define the man in charge? That's just a symbol. But the Queen was very young, and her husband was speaking out on her behalf, and he didn't say he was speaking on her behalf, and therefore she felt insecure. Now, as years went by, she no longer felt insecure, and her people knew that she delegated to him many responsibilities and many things to represent her, because she couldn't be everywhere at once, and she didn't want to be everywhere at once. And she enjoyed having him represent her, but always to represent her, always remembering that she is wearing the pants in the family. It's just as simple as that. A lot of people want to make a big thing out of it. They want to say, "Oh, she has this complex that tries to make her be superior to everybody else." She doesn't. She is superior to everybody. She's a queen. She's a boss. She's in charge. And anyone who doesn't pay attention to her had better watch out. And this is why Queen Elizabeth of present-day England has such a difficulty. She hasn't taught her children that she's in charge. And that when she says something, they do it, because they're part of the royal family. And they're being raised to go out and bring about more royal families. That's their purpose of being. Their purpose of being is not to be another kid on the block. It's not to be another person, but to be a royal being. Now, unfortunately, here at the Absolute Monastery, people say, "Oh my goodness, that's tough there. That is really tough." And they say, "How can you stand to live in a situation like that, where things are tough, where things are so difficult? How can you stand to have her voice telling you what to do, her voice telling you what to say and what to think and how to act and do like that? How can you stand that? I mean, that would drive me nuts," you say. And, of course, for you, perhaps it would drive you nuts, because you're not a master. But if you're a master, do you think that the Prince Consort with Queen Victoria, her husband, do you think that he was disturbed by being treated like not the man in the family? He was treated the man in the family, but he was not treated like man of the world. His wife was the queen, and he knew that when he married her. He knew that right off the beginning. He knew the rules of the game, and he knew all the rules of the game. He knew them all. Both of them knew them all, even though they found them hard to carry out. But they knew the rules of the game. Now, when you come to the monastery, you know the rules of the game. At the monastery, you follow the program that you have established, that you've agreed to, and there's nothing new thrown at you, no new aspects thrown at you along the way, nothing that says, "It's just one little thing that we ask you to do here at the monastery, one little thing." And that's to be a master. That's all. We just want you to be a master. Now, the Prince Consort with Queen Victoria was the master, and he was a great master. He was a superior master. Oh, he had to learn how to play the rules of the game a little bit. He had to learn that it was okay to do anything he wanted to do as long as he said the Queen told him to do it. It was okay to do anything he wanted to do as long as the Queen told him to, and anything he wanted to do was on behalf of the country. Anything he wanted to do was on behalf of the betterment of the country itself, not for his personal whims. His personal whims oftentimes were stumbled on, I'm sure. But the thing is, when people come to the monastery, they think their personal whims are being stumbled on, and they're not being stomped on at all. What you're doing, you're just living by the rules of the program, of the organization. As I oftentimes tell people, this is not a school of music. You're not learning music here. This is a school of spiritual awareness. This is a school of inner awareness. This is a school of majesty of self. You're not learning to play a musical instrument. But if this were a music school, and you were not learning your musical instrument, and you were not studying your lessons for the musicology that the school teaches, you'd be out on your ear faster than you could say Jack Robinson. And the reason you'd be out, because you would be a terror for the rest of the students. You would be anathema for everybody else. They'd say, how come she doesn't have to do it? How come she doesn't have to do it? How come he doesn't have to do it? You see? And so, it's not really bad. We look at the monks. Well, we look at the Sound of Music, and we see this beautiful monastery, this beautiful cloister, you know, this beautiful place where all these nuns are walking around enjoying themselves in the privacy of inside of the wall. Well, now, that's not too cool. That's not too cool. Julie Andrews, she had to get outside. She had to run up on top of the hill. It called her, and she had to go. But, you see, that's not acceptable. There's nothing wrong with it, but it's not acceptable. You can have no other calling upon you except the convent in which you belong. And Julie Andrews had to learn that. And she didn't know that. She didn't know that primarily because she was a country girl. And she was a girl who followed her whims. And when nature called us to come up and sing on top of the mountains and run in the forest like a beautiful bird, she had to do it. And of course, she's the better for it. But she was not a nun. She could have never made a nun, because inside of her heart, she would have always been feeling unhappy. She had always been feeling that she wasn't following her calling of whatever it was to go into the hills and sing. The hills are alive with the sound of music. And that was Julie. That was her way. Now, the shows that we've watched, I'm sure there are many more that we haven't watched, but the shows that we've watched of Julie Andrews, what kind of person does she play? She plays a very self-confident, regal, royal person. Not in every show, I'm sure, but in the ones that we've watched, she's always the queen, or she's always a very definite woman. She's always a woman with class, with she's Mary Poppins, wasn't she? Peter Pan,
Mary Poppins.
Yeah, Mary Poppins. Well, now, what kind of woman was she there? My, oh my, oh my. You see, yes, that's right, Mary Poppins. And it was very good. It was very good. But she was a very special lady. A very special lady. Always a very special lady. Now, do you have the guts to be a very special person? No. All right, so you are a musician. So you are a very special musician. We watched this swan song from China, and we watched it on
YouTube,
and it was just gorgeous. Just gorgeous. Do you think any of those girls has anything else on her mind except dancing? They can't. Because their dancing is so intense. It is so tremendous. Oh, perhaps they get married. Perhaps they have families. Perhaps, but I doubt that. I think they're a bunch of spinsters. They're like a bunch of nuns, you know. They're training in doing their ballet dances. And the prima donna, wow. Have you ever seen Swan Lake done like that? Have you ever seen it in the whole world? Would you ever visualize two people dancing so harmoniously and her floating actually in the air, standing on his head, on his shoulders, and doing pirouettes and doing all these things? That's magic. But it's not magic. It's training. It's absolute training. She trained. He trained. They had to train to work together. If he were out of harmony with her in the slightest, she'd fall. And they were fearful of her falling in certain acts, certain parts of the act, and they had a spare man standing by to catch her if she did, because they didn't want her damaged. She is too beautiful, too glorious, and she wasn't. But she gave her all to that performance. And do you think she was pleased? Mm. Oh, ho, ho. She was delighted. It was the essence of her life. Now, does she give that performance once or many times? You can be sure it's many times. Many times. And to do this many times, she has to keep in the same absolute hair-trigger format, the ability to do it so beautifully. Now, a queen has to do it so beautifully. She cannot allow her children to go around and act like commoners. The ballet dancers, they cannot go out and have beers, and they cannot go out and live it up. They have to always be in perfect training. She is good because she is herself a master. But she's a master by her choice. No one could force her to do that. She has to do it out of her heart. As we heard in The Sound of Music, the children had no joy in singing because their Nana was gone. And the music was dead. But the minute the Nana came back, the music was alive. Their hearts were filled with joy, which, of course, was part of the show. But it would have been a real life experience, too. You can be sure of that. You can be sure of that. How many homes where a lovely family live and the family is a devoted, dedicated family to one another, they love each other without limit, and one of them dies or one of them goes away or one of them has a problem that they cannot be active like that anymore? If the family really loves themselves, the love goes on. But if they love themselves only because Daddy was here, or Mama was here, or sister was here, or brother, whatever it was, then it falls apart. And they were master of themselves. And now, can we be master of ourselves? Do we need to be in the absolute monastery to be master of ourselves? And that's a poor example. Some in the absolute monastery are masters of themselves, and most are not. And most are not because they feel that they're being picked on. They feel that they're being required to follow a program to be a master. And they don't want to do that. They don't want to do that because to be a master means that somebody else is the queen. Somebody else is the king. No. That's not the case. There is a program that they follow. The queen is not the queen, she's a program. The king is not a king, he's a program. The royalty is a program. A master is a program. A diva is a program. She learns her dance steps, she learns her actions as a ballet dancer. But she was not an ordinary dancer. My goodness sakes, no. She danced on this man's shoulder, and she flew up into the air, and he caught her, and they slid down by him in a perfect harmony. And she did the splits upside down. And some of the things were just so outstanding, almost outrageous, because we were not accustomed to it. Because we are not accustomed to the body being able to do such magnificent things, for it to be under such fabulous control. What an amazing person. Now, do you think that the diva would make a good queen? No. Would she make a good mother? No. Would she make a good father? No. Would she make a good anything? No. Would she make a good diva? Yeah. She knows her trade. Now, is she a balanced human being? Quite likely not. Is she a normal human being? Thank goodness not. Is she special? Does she know her trade? Is she the ideal blacksmith who makes the most beautiful swords in the world? Is she the most beautiful queen? Oh, she's good looking, gorgeous, young, dynamic. Now, can she do this all of her life? To a degree. As her body ages, as her body becomes inflexible, she'll have trouble. Now, do you think she thinks her body will become inflexible? Now, why do you think that her body will not become inflexible, that it'll always be flexible? Because she eats the right foods. She knows she does. Because she thinks the right thoughts. She knows she does. Because she lives the right way. She knows she does. Because she does the exercises and the actions. Now, we saw a woman on YouTube a while back, and she was 80-some years old. Maybe, is she more than 80?
No.
She's
more than 80.
Huh? More than 80. Yeah, she was in the 90s. And she was a woman who looked like she was 90 years old. But when you saw her dance, she was magnificent. She was like this diva. She slid down and came up and did. She was magnificent. She kept her body in perfect shape. Now, she had the aged look on her face, but I think that was just because that wasn't an area that she kept control of. But she kept control of the limberness, of the flexibility of her body. And she was good. Now, does that mean everybody can be? Does that mean everybody's born with genes and chromosomes that help their body to be in good shape? Thank God, no. Everybody's not born with genes and chromosomes that make their body perfect. Everybody has the possibility of putting that cause in motion for themselves. Just because you have genes and chromosomes that say you can't do something, and then you train yourself to do it, do you think you can do it?
Yeah.
You bet you can. You bet you can. What is it you're going to be a master of? What is it you're going to be a master in? Are you going to be a master in being yourself and having fun? Do you think that diva thinks what she's doing is having fun? Oh, ho. Do you think the man she works with thinks that this is the funnest thing in the world? He is titillated by the very fact that she is dancing off his fingertips. That he picks her up from lying flat on the floor in front of her and flips her on top of his shoulders, and she flips with it. Now, what the spring is in there, it's amazing. It makes you think to yourself, how can that be? Well, how can that be? How do you catch a moonbeam in your hands? You do these things by loving it. You do these things by enjoying it. Now, all of the things that they were, all of the ways in which they trained themselves in the dance, the total choreography was between them and their trainer. They worked with a trainer, and do work with a trainer, you can be sure. And the trainer said, now let's see if you can do this. Let's see if you can do that. Or they thought it up and said to the trainer, look what we can do. Wow-wee! Oh my, oh my, oh my. Now, wouldn't that be wonderful if each of us here in the monastery could say to ourselves when we wake in the morning, My, oh my, oh my, what a wonderful day. My, oh my, oh my. If we would say those things about ourselves, and we would be delighted, and we would not be frustrated over the fact that we think somebody's ordering us around. Nobody's ordering us around. We have agreed to do things, and we're not doing it. We have agreed to do other things, and we're doing them. Well, now, why is it that we don't do all the things we agreed to? It's because we feel it's too bad for us. We got to do all these things. Oh, it's what a shame. Well, what a shame. But no, a master doesn't do that. Do you think that St. Thomas Aquinas took Sundays off? Do you think that Augustine, in writing the City of God, stopped writing the City of God because he had to go to chapel? Yes. He took off because that was his dedication. And that was his reality. And then he came back afterwards. He didn't sit around and play golf with the rest of the guys. He wrote. I mean, by pen, he wrote so many millions and millions and millions of words. What an amazing one. The same with St. Thomas. Amazing people. Amazing people. By pen, by quill, dipping it in the ink, you know, not even having a ballpoint. What amazing people. What dedicated people. They're masters. And when you call them masters, it's not because of something someone else forced them to do. It's something else they awoke within themselves to do. Let us awake within ourselves to be the master that we are and to enjoy life like we can and will, because that's what it's all about. But it's no fun to do that if someone has to force us, if we feel someone else is pushing us. If you go to school and you don't want to go to school, school is miserable. But if you go to school because your teacher makes it so exciting, so interesting, so much fun, and your parents say, wow, another day at school, are you lucky? This is wonderful. Oh, are you going to have so much fun with the other boys and girls, and you're going to learn so much, and oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. And, you know, oh, you got your nose in the book all the time. Good for you. That's what you're supposed to be doing when you're growing up, having your nose in the book and having your eyes on your lessons and having your thought on all this wonderful stuff that's opening up the magic within you. My, oh my. Parents like that are few and far between. And we say the Japanese parents are like that a great deal. Maybe not so perfect like that, but pretty darn good. It's the Chinese ballet that has done this most amazing thing. And the Japanese have done some other very amazing thing too. And, of course, the Germans have done it, and the Swiss, and the French, and, you know, with skiing and all these other things, and hockey and all the games they play. But it's all part of the choice that each makes. Where are you a master besides overall? Are you a master in any one thing? Can you be a magician with your legerdemain and do magic? And all that magic is just a skill that's learned. Just a skill that's learned. And when you learn that skill, then you're a good magician. When you learn the skill of being a good mother, oh my, how blessed are your children. When you learn the skill of being a good father, how fortunate is your family. When you learn the skill of being happy in life, how blessed it is. Women don't have to be in industry and business to excel. Women can raise their children. That's part of what being a woman is. When you are born as a prince or princess in a family, you're a prince or princess, and there's nothing you can do to get around it. That's who you are. So that's what your ultimate destiny is going to be, as a prince or princess and king or queen. And if you're a woman, you're born to be a woman to take care of the family, to raise them and to give them all of the genius and to encourage them to be the absolute being they can be. And if you're a man, you're raised to raise the family and to take care of them and to provide for them and to give them guidance and direction as you can. But
for a woman to say, I've got to go and be myself and be in this year. I got to be a man. I'm a lesbian, so I'm now a man, or I'm a woman, or I'm a homosexual, so I'm a man or a woman. And so that's not true. That's not true. We are born to be a man or a woman. We are born to be whatever we are. We're born in a body, and that body says to us that we are feminine. Well, maybe we have artistic talents. Maybe we have feminine talents that are all to the good. Maybe we have masculine talents that are all to the good. Let us learn to live who we are and be the greatest that we are, and not go out and flaunt this. Homosexuality is not sex. Homosexuality is male and female hormones in the being. Lesbianism is not sex where two women want to live together and have sex together. It's two women who have different attitudes or whatever about themselves, physical or mental. But the thing is, does a man go around saying, I'm sex? Or a woman go around saying, I'm sex? No, they go around saying, I'm a man. And if a woman is maleish and she calls herself a man, she dresses like a man, then that's fine too, but that's not doing what she was born in. She was born to take those masculine tendencies and put them into this feminine attitude that she's born into and be the greatest woman in the world, the greatest being possible, and the same with the man. But we don't do that. We don't do that. We lose our direction. We lose our control because we think that we feel sorry for ourselves, that we can't do the things that we want to do. Well, this talk got onto many dimensions, didn't it? Well, that's because we are all many-dimensioned. Just because you're a malish woman doesn't mean you can't be the most beautiful female in the world. And just because you're a femaleish man doesn't mean you can't be the most gracious, generous, fantastic man in the universe. Forget about the sex. We're making too much of sex these days. We got all these Viagra pills and everything else going around, and we're forgetting that that's a very precious relationship. It's how we recreate and how we procreate and how we bring about life. And we have the opportunity to do that. Queen Victoria was a glorious queen, a most amazing queen, starting out at a very young age in a very tough circumstance. And she raised 9 children, all to become royal persons in other countries, to go and marry dukes and what have you in other countries to become part of the royal family, bringing in the entire Europe as part of her family and part of her kingdom and part of her rule, even though she didn't have her stamp on all of them. She had her children there. What amazing woman. Mm. And yet she did so many things for her country. And she was amazing. Can you do that? And from what we have seen of her, did she act masculine? She acted very feminine and very powerful and very glorious. Can we do that? Yes, we can. Do you think Queen Elizabeth acts very feminine or very masculine? She's sort of halfway. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, because she's sort of halfway, she loses out on being the dramatic being that she can be, which we all do. You've heard of half-assed people, you know. When you go around doing things with only half your attention, you pretend. You can't be your ultimate. The diva who was dancing this Swan Ballet, if she thought she wanted to play his role and her role, they could have never harmonized and synchronized and done the beautiful dance they did. But it's only because each understood who they were and were that to the ultimate. So today, you, be yourself and have fun. And only you know what that is. But be the best, funnest person in the universe. And only you know what that is too. I love you. I love you. I love you.